You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we want to talk about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right, and we bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics that we want to go over with you. We also have an interview coming up on this week's episode with Bob Kaplan, director and producer behind Dollface Road to the Apocalypse.
Yeah.
So we'll have that coming up in the side dish. So a lot of interesting things that we're going to throw at you. But before we delve into all of those crazy topics, we'd like to do a little recap, you know, a little personal news update, you know, what we've been up to since we last did the show, since our 200th episode last week.
We did a little bit of Facebook Live last week.
Want to thank everyone that sent us congratulations and well wishes. 200 episodes. So, thank you. It's actually all to you guys.
Yeah,
because if we didn't get responses back, it would be kind of okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just us talking to each other. With microphones.
Right. That's the only difference with microphones. So thank you for being a part of this crazy journey. But now we are here in the 201st episode.
That's right.
It's a new era.
It's a brand new season.
Sure. Let's run with it.
Yeah. Why not? It's the fifth season. Yeah.
If you want to go by years. Yeah.
Let's do it that way.
So what's new with you, Mike? Anything crazy in your life?
Well, I had a chance to catch up on some of the Oscar movies. Specifically, I finally watched Moonlight this past weekend. It was a very interesting movie. So here's the thing. It was a great emotional and intellectually challenging movie, but narrative-wise, I don't know if it was the most compelling, like, point A to B narrative, right? It was more of like snapshots of this one person's life as a little kid, as a teen, and as an adult. So there's not really any like traditional goal for the character to accomplish. It's more of just showing you this character's life journey, and you're just drawing your own conclusions. You're taking away from it whatever you want to. It's a character study.
So you're analyzing it more like in terms of like a traditional movie with a story arc, plot, motivation.
Right. And I mean, I guess that's how you have to analyze movies, because otherwise you get into the gray area of like, you know, weird art house films where it's just like shapes and colors and sounds, you know, there has to be a story.
The sky for 2 hours.
Yeah. The sky for 2 hours or something like that. I'm not saying Moonlight was that. Moonlight had interesting characters. It had interesting dilemmas. It made you feel, it made you think, it did all those great things that good art does. There just wasn't the traditional narrative underpinnings that a lot of movie viewers are looking for. That being said, it was still a fantastic experience. It was almost like Boyhood. You remember? Did you ever see Boyhood?
Oh, was that Linklater's?
Linklater,
movie?
Yeah. It was like snapshots of this person's life
in real time.
In real time, yeah. So it wasn't so much a story.
It took 15 years. That was like the whole argument.
It did.
Something.
It did. Yeah. He filmed with
it
the same people.
It took 15 years.
Yeah, yeah. And just like Boyhood, it suffers from the same aspect of it being a character study and it being an interesting experience, but not necessarily a narrative.
Now, Boyhood didn't win Best Picture, though.
It didn't.
Birdman won Best Picture, but Boyhood won Best Director, I think. I think that was the trade-off.
Yeah,
For this one, it's the opposite. La La Land won Best Director, but Moonlight won Best Picture.
And I understand that, because La La Land, as I pointed out in the podcast before the Oscars, you're directing people who are singing and dancing and all these crazy props and lights and sound. So I get why Chazelle won Best Director. Moonlight, see, I don't know whether, I can't say whether or not it deserves Best Picture, because I've only seen Arrival in addition to Moonlight. So I feel like I'm not well-versed enough to say, oh, it didn't deserve it. But it was a very good experience. And I think people should check it out because the acting performances are great. And it just deals with really heavy... If you want something that's heavy that's going to make you think and feel, Moonlight is for you. If you're looking for a more traditional narrative, it might not be up your alley. Okay. That's what I'm getting at.
So there you go. Mike's movie review on Moonlight. One of the Best Picture winner.
Yeah. It was good. It was good. Very good.
There you go.
That's what I did. What have you been up to?
Actually, nothing much. But the weather has just been crazy here in Philadelphia recently. It's someone pointed out on Facebook, it's like all four seasons have like hit all in like the span of a week. Because we've gone from like 30, 40 degrees, then jumped to 70.
Yeah.
I remember one day last week I was sweating. Like, what is going on?
And it's like back to the
40s. And
then
40s. It was back down to 40. And then there was a day where we had a random snow squall.
Yeah, I mean, like, it didn't really stick, but it was...
No, it didn't stick, but...
But this is all in, like, a week's time.
Right.
That's what's alarming about it.
Like, what are you doing, Mother Nature, here in the East Coast?
Mother Nature, she's just... She's losing it.
Yeah.
You know, in her old age, she's just going a little crazy.
No idea what appropriate season it is.
Well, Mother Nature, I mean, think about it. She's in her early billions, I think. So... You know, she's getting up there.
Yeah.
We might have to put her in a home soon.
We need to get her some facelifts. You know, she needs to start looking better.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know how old Mother Nature is. How old is the planet Earth?
I think billions.
Is this now a science podcast?
Oh, God. Here we are.
Should I look up how old?
Science podcast.
How old is the Earth?
I'm sure Google would provide an answer.
I'm sure it will. 4.543 billion years.
There you go. Not bad.
So, I mean, you know, she's getting up there, though.
Yeah.
You know?
She's losing it.
Yeah.
Dementia might be setting in.
Well, once you get to 5 billion, you know, that's when it all starts going south. So, you know, she's getting up there in age. We got to take care of good old Mother Nature.
Yeah. I don't know, man, because there's some wacky stuff happening in the Philadelphia area. It's crazy. Yeah.
That's fun about living in a temperate zone.
Yeah.
You know, because you get like all the seasons.
Well, usually,
and sometimes all at the same time.
Yeah, usually you get all the seasons throughout the course of a year, not in the span of a week.
Yeah.
That's usually the disclaimer.
It's because people are very busy in modern society and they need their seasons to come and go quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't have time.
Right.
They don't have time for the leisurely fall strolls. No. Has to be one afternoon and then over.
That's it, all right? I have a 6 o'clock yoga appointment.
Yeah.
Do you have appointments for yoga? I don't know.
I don't know. Do you?
I don't know. I don't do yoga. Sorry.
Could you imagine one of us doing yoga?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I'll do that when I eat kale.
What, you mean not having like kale and peanut butter smoothies?
No.
No? Oh.
But there you go. Just to give you an idea of what we've been up to the past week or so. But now it's time to get to the topics at hand. We've got a couple that we want to go over with. The first batch that we pull for you, we group it by sports, so we call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face here. And we have a interesting little segment here where we hit you with two news topics really fast. In 2 minutes, we call it the 2 minute drill. Are you ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, time starts now. What do you got, Mike?
All right, well, first up in the 2 minute drill, we have a little bit of football news. As everybody knows, football is the best sport ever. And recently hasn't been very much fun, though, because the NFL's been very strict with its policies on celebrations. But recent news indicates that the NFL might be trying to shake its quote-unquote no fun league nickname, as reports are saying that league officials are looking into relaxing those anti-celebration rules. The new guidelines would allow harmless and spontaneous celebrations but still restrict excessive, prolonged, or vulgar displays. The league anticipates that these new guidelines could go into effect sometime this offseason, but I don't know if they should have anti-celebration rules at all, because there were only 30 celebration penalties out of more than 40,000 plays this season. Do they need to have rules on this in the first place?
No, it's stupid. You're literally becoming no fun league. Just get rid of it all. I was a big Terrell Owens fan. I loved it when he did all the crazy antics.
He was fun. He was
fun. If you score a touchdown, you have the right to celebrate. I think that's the rule.
I agree. Touchdowns are hard to come by. Let them celebrate a little bit.
Yeah.
So hopefully the NFL will loosen up its restrictions this offseason. Speaking of sports and needing to loosen up, Rich, golf is taking a page out of MLB in trying to liven up their matches by proposing a pace of play rule. A golfer would have only 40 seconds from the time they take their stance to hit their ball as long as there are no there's no interference or distraction. Golf, an already mind-numbingly dry and boring sport, could use all the help it can get. Rich. As a lifelong golf fan and player, how do you feel about this new rule? Is 40 seconds enough to hit that tiny white ball?
It is, and it's good. They're taking a page from baseball. It's the right way to go, especially to pick up the pace in these games. Thank you, Mike, for all that dissing on my favorite, on one of my favorite sports.
Look at how fast we can talk about these issues. Golf should be the same way. It should be get up there, hit the ball, go to the next hole.
I always thought they should have done like a battle golf. Like just as for one of the tournaments.
Battle, what is battle golf? Are you trying to like knock each other's balls out of play or
No. You mentioned this the one episode, like a speed golf. Like
oh yeah, like, that would be great.
Like everyone tees
at the same time.
And like they have to try and finish all 18 holes and they're the fastest wins.
Yeah, well it could be a combination of how many strokes you have and how fast you complete the course. I think that would be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
They should do that. Yeah like direct head-to-head golf at the same time.
I'm not saying replace a major with it. Just, you know, one of the weekend ones.
Think about the drama when they're both on the green putting. They're like, because you could have two strategies. You could go for the hole or you could try and knock out your opponent. And I think that would be really, really exciting. It'd be like basketball where you can jump up and block a shot. You know, the same strategy applies here in golf. There's no reason why they can't update and modernize golf and make it more exciting. And hopefully pace of play will start them on that trend to it being an action-oriented sport.
Well, hold on. Yeah, hold your horses. This is golf. But yeah, that would be interesting, the pace of play rule. I think it's a good idea, though, because, yeah, sometimes they do take forever in the tee box.
So they're just proposing this, right?
Yeah.
So this isn't going to go into effect in time for our coverage, unfortunately.
It might.
They would have to move really fast on it,
Rich,
which is not going to happen.
Yeah, but I don't know. You never know.
We won't see this rule until like 2028.
Ooh, and then, the 150th Masters or something.
Yeah.
Fancy.
They celebrated by bringing out a pace of play rule. Only golf knows how to celebrate like that.
Yeah.
So, pop the champagne, boys. We have one new rule.
By the way, the Masters is a month away from today. Yep. So, yeah, we're almost there, Mike.
Yep.
Get ready for golf coverage.
In like two straight months of golf.
It's coming. All right. Well, I know you need to liven up the move, lighten up the mood. So let's do some wrestling news.
What is this music? I feel like I'm in a Lord of the Rings battlefield.
No, you are in the battlefield of the WWE. And this is very important because WWE is coming up on their own Super Bowl, WrestleMania.
Okay.
So this is a critical point in the WWE year because you're starting to reach the end storylines, right?
Right.
Everything conclude. Usually all stories conclude at WrestleMania, which is what makes it the most hype event in the WWE.
All the character development and world building is culminating to this moment. I think it sounds like an epic fantasy trilogy.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it is.
But I mean, no, wrestling does have that unique out of all the sports because it does craft its narrative, if you will.
Right. Well, unfortunately, a lot of fans are saying WWE messed up again. Boy, like every year this happens going into WrestleMania that WWE seems to slip a little bit when it comes to storylines.
Okay, so how'd they mess up this time? And I always find it astonishing that they mess up writing storylines. Like, you have fans, they tell you what they want to see, just make it happen.
Well,
you get to decide.
Well, one of the culprits is the theme music that we're playing right now, Goldberg.
Okay.
There's a pay-per-view that happens before WrestleMania called Fastlane. And usually it's kind of not boring, but it's anticlimactic because usually you don't have a title change right before WrestleMania.
Okay.
You usually want to have an established champion,
right,
and then like someone like a decent challenger, and it usually culminates in going into WrestleMania. You don't want to have the change happen before WrestleMania. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. What are they trying to do? Like a plot twist here?
Yeah. Apparently,
yeah, because you want to build up somebody over the course of the year.
Yeah, and not just bring in that. Right.
No, you are. You don't want to bring in somebody not new, but you don't want to introduce a new wrinkle to the narrative at the 11th hour.
Right. But unfortunately, at Fastlane, the Universal Champion that was going into the pay-per-view was Kevin Owens. That's his theme right now. A big fan favorite. He has been feuding with also fan favorite and well-known wrestler Chris Jericho for the last couple of months. And this is what we've been talking about. They've been feuding for 6 months.
Right.
They start out as a cool tag team, and then Kevin Owens, there was a storyline where he backstabbed Jericho, and there's been just a nice cultivated feud here.
Right.
And then they added Kevin Owens wins the Universal Championship. So everybody was like, oh, okay. So it's going to be Jericho versus Kevin Owens for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania. All right, that sounds like an original, you know, original idea. You've got Kevin Owens, who's an up and comer. He's not superstar status, but he's well known with
right.
the fans. He's young. Jericho's the veteran. He's known. He's a household name. All right, it kind of makes sense. So I think that's what everybody was like. Oh, okay.
Everybody's getting on board for that,
right? But at Fastlane, they decided to have a match between Goldberg and Kevin Owens for the Universal Championship, and Goldberg wins in convincing fashion. Like, he wins in less than a minute.
No, that's not fun.
Yeah, and everybody is scratching their heads because Goldberg, he already has a match booked for WrestleMania, and that is a rematch against Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
Here's the problem, though.
Okay, what's the problem?
Brock Lesnar and Goldberg are both part-timers.
Okay.
They don't appear on wrestling every week.
Right.
Hell, they don't even appear at every pay-per-view. Especially Lesnar. Lesnar only appears at the ones that he deems are worthy of his time.
Isn't he trying, like, MMA now or something? Or
well, no, he retired from MMA.
Oh, he retired.
Yeah. So, fans are kind of upset. Why is Lesnar versus Goldberg now going to be fought for a major title, the Universal Championship, when you had Kevin Owens and Jericho got a pretty high-quality matchup there? And that's just going to be a regular match now at WrestleMania. It's kind of like they got demoted.
Unless something happens at WrestleMania to sort of, I don't know, twist it back. That would be so gimmicky, though.
It would a little bit.
So contrived.
Right. I don't think they would go that route.
This is what upsets me as another creative type person, is I imagine the people there thinking up these storylines and they're like, let's slowly build this feud where somebody backstabs somebody. They start out as a tag team. Let's build it. Let's work on it for 6 months. And then at the last second, just completely pull the rug out from underneath the fans' feet. Why would you do that? You have this slow building narrative of these two that are developing this feud. I mean, just from like, if this were like a story, like an actual written story, like it would make sense narratively for these two to have to face off in the end. Like that's the storyline that everybody wants.
Well, don't get me wrong. They're still going to face off against each other at WrestleMania.
It's not important.
Almost. Yeah. Right. It's just for pride, which is kind of a letdown.
Exactly.
Let's put it this way.
What I'm saying is it's annoying that they have this story that they worked hard on and they had it set up perfectly and they just decide to shoot themselves in the foot because they have control over the narrative and they're like, nope, we're going to change it at the last second.
Let's put it this way. We know for a fact the WrestleMania card is going to have Lesnar versus Goldberg and Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho. Between the two, which one really deserves a major title on the line? The answer is Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho.
I just had an idea. I'm writing for WWE now. Owens and Jericho used to have a tag team.
Right.
They realized what happened to them and not being able to fight for the title is BS. So they tag team once again to fight against Lesnar and Goldberg together. So they defeat Lesnar and Goldberg, and then they have to fight each other for the title.
That's not going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It should, but it's...
It's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Did I do a better job of creating a story at WWE storyline than the actual WWE?
Possibly, but that's not going to...
What if it does, though?
No, they're not... When it comes to WrestleMania, they don't like doing too many tag team matches. And especially
then
for
this
one,
is just stupid.
When
there's
you have
no
the WWE... when you have the Universal title on the line, too.
There's no saving grace, then.
There really isn't. It was kind of mind-numbing, the fact that they forced Goldberg to win the Universal title. It's because here's the thing. Lesnar and Goldberg are both names that any wrestling fan knows off the top of the head. You know Brock Lesnar, obviously, from all the crazy shenanigans, beating The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
You know, and you know Goldberg from his time in WCW. So it's like, that was already set.
Yeah.
You already sold the audience on it. You don't need anything more in that. But then they decide to throw in the Universal Championship, taking away from Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho.
Is WWE out of touch with their fans?
We ask that every year.
No, I don't follow it closely or at all. So I'm just wondering, does WWE have a problem with not being in touch with their fan base?
They always that question always comes up every year, because there's always one move they make going into WrestleMania that seems like it craps the bed.
Because as an outsider, the way you described the Owens-Jericho storyline, it makes perfect sense to have them fight each other. That's how it's a friendship gone wrong.
They are going to fight each other.
Yeah, but not for a title. Yeah,
you keep saying
okay,
that.
Okay.
Yeah, they are going to fight each other. Don't get me wrong. That's happening.
But you just suck all the gravitas out of it.
Right. There's no title on the line.
Right.
Like, that's what I think would have really made it an A-plus match.
Does the title matter? What I'm saying is, does the title matter to their narrative, Jericho and Owens' narrative? Because I'm viewing this as like a story.
I think it hurts that they took it away from Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, in my opinion.
Are they leaving the door open for them, like, teaming up again, though? Or is this like a sequel or a trilogy?
No, not before WrestleMania. No, they are going to fight at WrestleMania. I don't think they're planning like a reunion or anything, no.
Then this just doesn't make any sense to
right.
me.
Right.
I keep asking these questions to see if maybe there's a redeeming quality hidden somewhere in there,
I think really the ire, what has earned the ire of WWE fans, is the fact that Brock Lesnar and Goldberg are just part-timers. That really is the thing that pisses everybody off, is Lesnar and Goldberg just choose whenever they want to show up to WWE.
They're not mainstays.
They're not on a weekly contract like someone who's hungry, like Kevin Owens. Like, that's what bothers me. How can you award a major championship match to two guys that have only wrestled a handful of times in the past year?
Well, I guess...
Whereas Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, too. Chris Jericho is also fronting a band at the same time, and he's been showing up every week.
So I guess my response to that is, if I'm the WWE, regular fans will tune in for... You know, regardless of what the match is, I guess for something as big as WrestleMania, they want to bring in, you know, casual fans. They want to bring in people who used to be interested in wrestling, and, you know, maybe they'll watch it again if, you know, two superstars face off against each other.
But shouldn't that be enough alone to sell it? Why would you need to add the world title in addition to it?
I don't know.
I think here's something that kind of scares me a little bit.
Okay.
Is I think maybe Goldberg or Lesnar. Actually, I think it's probably Goldberg, because Goldberg seems to not really have these long matches. I think Goldberg is relatively... Please don't come after me. I think he might be weak. Like, I think he might have hit like Undertaker status. Like, he needs to be careful in the ring. Like, he can't like do the same moves that he used to do. Keep in mind, Goldberg is pretty old. He had his heyday in the 90s with WCW, right. So maybe he's on borrowed time. Maybe he's just like Undertaker. He's got to watch what he has to do. And I think maybe WWE is worried that Lesnar and Goldberg isn't going to be as successful as they think it should be.
So they throw a title in to up the ante. Yeah.
Right. And I think maybe that's a secret motivation behind this move.
If they're worried it's not going to be good, aren't they risking it backfiring by putting in the title then?
No, because you kind of...
what happens if it's not a good match and it's a title match?
Well, if you do, then we are going
to... But here's the issue. Like, I'm trying to find the upside, and I just don't see it.
If you add that the world title, you add more kind of a gravitas to it.
Right.
Like, there's kind of more pageantry because the referee has to come out, show the title.
Right.
You know, maybe it makes the match seem longer.
But if Goldberg isn't capable physically, then it has the chance of backfiring spectacularly. If
it could.
What you're saying is true.
It could. Here's why I'm saying that. Goldberg's two matches, the one where he beat Kevin Owens and the one where he beat Brock Lesnar, were both like only a minute long matches.
Right.
Like,
That seems fast. I have no idea, but that seems fast.
And, you know, the storyline is like, oh, he's so strong that he beats people in like a minute. But I think it's actually the count. I think it's the fact that they're worried about what...
Well, he's old, isn't he?
Right. And I think that might be the issue. I think they're worried, can he actually perform a quality match at WrestleMania?
Right.
So let's add... the world heavyweight, or let's add the Universal Championship, a major title, to that match, so that at least it still has some prestige and some effect on the WWE Universe in case it doesn't last or it's not as viewed as critically well as WWE hopes it can be.
I just feel like the WWE just keeps shooting themselves in the foot.
They do.
I mean, but this is from an outsider. Like, I don't know anything about wrestling outside of like the 90s and like Sting.
Well, you know Goldberg.
Goldberg, yeah, from the 90s. So I don't know. This is from an outsider's perspective, but just hearing you talk about it and hearing what the fans are saying online, it just seems like they keep messing up. All you have to do is like listen to the fans, because you have control over the storylines.
They always seem to mess up one. Yeah. They always seem to mess up one or two storylines going into WrestleMania. It's like without fail, they always do something.
Maybe they're making it a running gag.
Yeah, at this rate, why
maybe
not?
They're looking to get into sketch comedy.
Sure, at this rate, but we'll keep an eye on it as another big event. Not just golf, not just the Masters. WrestleMania also looms near. And we know two fights that are going to be on the card, Lesnar versus Goldberg. That one will be for the WWE Universal Championship. Owens versus Jericho. Sadly, no
title. It's just
a
regular fight.
Yeah, just a regular fight, which is this, it is disappointing. I like Kevin Owens and I like Chris Jericho. I'm surprised.
I mean,
they didn't get it.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's just because pure name recognition.
Yeah. Also we have, Randy Orton, who won the Royal Rumble match. He will be going up against the SmackDown world champion. So that will also be fun to watch. And then, of course, I'm sure they're going to stick Undertaker somewhere in it. I'm wondering.
Isn't he old, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He can barely... He literally can only do, like, that one match. He has to save up all of his strength just for that one match at WrestleMania.
These people are in their 50s. I'm looking up these people. Goldberg, Undertaker, they're in their 50s. Call it quits, guys.
Well, you know, there's something about... I gotta admit, especially Undertaker, there is still something, like, when that, like, gong goes off and the lights go out, his gimmick still works. It still works, and I still love to see it. But... we'll see how everything plays out at WrestleMania. Coming up, right next to the Masters. Yes, it's my favorite time of the year. Aren't you happy, Mike?
I'm happy for you, Rich.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because it's a terrible time of year for me with no football.
All right. Well, no football makes Mike sad. So let's go into a break. Don't go anywhere because we've got the entertainment entree. A interview, Bob Kaplan, coming up in the side dish, and then the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Did you hear this?
Michigan is making sure that your beer pint at the bar cannot be 16 ounces or fewer.
Do you have like an official beer inspector standing there?
Yeah, the Michigan beer thing.
The Michigan beer thing. The MBT.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. Wait, with the MBT. Is there 16 ounces in there? I'm sorry, sir. I'm reading 15.6 ounces. I'm going to have to take you in. So.
On the streets of Michigan, the Michigan beer thing is out and about to make sure you get the right beer.
Not the right beer, the right amount
of beer. Excuse me, right amount of beer. I'm drunk right now.
It's all part of the business with the MBT.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done sports in the sports sampler. We're moving right along to our next segment here where we update you with this week in entertainment, a random sound clip, and more. That only means one thing. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the entertainment entree.
Boom, boom, let me say well.
I've been waiting to play this one. I kind of kept this one saved up. This is one of my favorite YouTube clips that has been going viral. That is a cat.
I love that.
Boom, boom, let me say well.
That's perfect timing.
That is
and
great.
And almost the perfect cadence, too. So... Folks,
that's amazing.
I think we should all relive Boom 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 in some sort of way, shape, or form. Get it loaded up on your Spotify. Let me hear you say, whoa!
Boom Boom, let me hear you say, whoa!
It's just so damn cute.
It's so
cute. That's what I love about it. It's just so cute. You can't stand it.
It's just, I can't, it's perfect timing.
It really is. That cat's a genius.
Yeah, that cat's going to be a star, let me tell you something, all right?
Boom, boom, let me hear you say well. Wow.
Rich, I got to ask you, do your cats sing on command?
No. And it kind of bothers me. Sing for me.
You just go around all day, just singing constantly, and they just
don't—they
don't give you anything.
No, they tilt their heads. Like, what are you doing?
They're like, what do you expect of me?
Yeah. Though the one cat I have, the older cat, Tiger, the orange one.
Right.
Mike knows the cat.
I know. Yeah.
He will if you touch him. He'll do like a. So
is that like an old angry guy's like, leave me alone, get off my lawn?
Yeah, or like, what are you doing? Yeah, I'm judging you. What are you doing?
I'm judging you.
Yes, this better be a nice petting you're gonna do.
This better be a nice pet. You better bring your petting A game. All right,
right. Like it's.
I feel like cats are the only pet that will judge you. There's no judgment.
Oh, yeah.
There's no judgment with dogs. I had parakeets. There's no judgment there. They're dumb. They're little bird brains. Goldfish. You know, same thing.
Oh, yeah. Cats are emotionally very intelligent.
Yeah.
They
That's why I find cats really interesting.
Yeah,
they're smart. You can tell they're like wily and tricky.
Yeah, they have another sense when it comes to like who to trust and who not to trust, and yeah, they play games and such. It's interesting.
And sing sometimes too.
Yeah, but unfortunately mine don't. But this one online did a perfect rendition of "Boom Boom Boom." Let me hear you say "Well."
Boom boom, let me hear you say "Well."
I love it so much.
It's amazing.
It's just perfect.
Hearing that clip makes me want to have a cat.
You should, man.
I know. If it wasn't for all the allergies, it would...
Oh, do you have cat?
I'm allergic. Yeah, we did. I'm allergic to literally everything nice in the world.
Everything nice.
No, seriously, flowers, pets, just everything.
I'm allergic to pollen, so yeah. I'm with you there.
Everything that blooms. Everyone's like, "Oh, isn't spring wonderful?" I'm like, "No.
No,
no, you can keep your spring. I'm going to Antarctica."
There
okay?
You go.
That's my response.
All right.
No pollen, no dust, no dander, no nothing.
And soon, no ice.
Yeah.
Laughing about it because everyone's seen the documentary and it's kind of true.
Goodbye, Florida.
Bye-bye. Oh, no, where are we going to get our odd news from if Florida goes?
Oh, jeez, that's a good point.
Oh, my gosh.
We're jumping the gun here, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions, but we'll have to put them aside because now we're going to move further into the entertainment entree, and it's time for the weekly segment where Mike lets you know what's going on in the world of movies, TV, and video games. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
It's yes, you son of a bitch.
I just realized I went through a whole wrestling segment. I didn't play one Ric Flair clip.
Yeah, that's really odd.
Put me in a cage with that S.O.B. Please put me in a cage. A cage, a cage.
So, sorry, I have to make up for it.
Well,
one more.
Okay.
Hell, I'm going to take your girlfriend home and make you say Mickey Mouse. I'm not kidding you.
Just for all the Ric Flair fanatics.
Did you get all the Ric Flair out of your system?
I think so.
Okay.
You may now continue.
Okay, thank you. Well, oh boy. This week in theaters, you're going to want to go check out this one. Kong Skull Island is hitting movie theaters. King Kong returns to the big screen. This movie is set in the 1970s. The movie follows a team of explorers searching for a mythical island where prehistoric and monstrous creatures live. It just has an amazing cast. Tom Hiddleston, Samuel L. Jackson, Brie Larson, John C. Reilly, and John Goodman star in this explosion-filled monster-fighting action movie. So far, it's only got average ratings, but if you're looking for a good, although it's not summer, but a summer blockbuster type, popcorn munching, soda drinking movie. This is right up your alley. The latest incarnation of King Kong, Kong Skull Island, is hitting theaters this week. In the world of TV, a couple of Netflix shows are coming out this Friday. Love is the down-to-earth romantic comedy series from Judd Apatow, starring Jillian Jacobs and Paul Rust. It's returning for its second season. Got pretty good reviews. If it seems like it's up your alley, a quirky, down-to-earth, more realistic approach to a romantic comedy, go check out Love. If you're interested for something a little goofier, you might want to check out this new animated series, Buddy Thunderstruck, a new animated series from the, get this, this is weird, the creators of Care Bears and the animation team from Robot Chicken.
What's that?
Yeah, exactly. So the minds behind Care Bears and Robot Chicken come together to create this animated series that follows the adventures of a semi-truck racing dog named Buddy and his albino ferret mechanic friend.
What's that?
Yeah, it's way, way, you know, out in left field. It's got that classic stop-motion animation that Robot Chicken is known for. It's obviously geared towards kids, but it seems very funny. If you're in for something quirky, weird, outlandish, animated, fun, go check out Buddy Thunderstruck on Netflix this Friday. In the world of video games, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. Make sure you go download your freebies. But that's not the biggest video game news this week. The Nintendo Switch came out last Friday, and it's already Nintendo's fastest-selling home console system. In just a few days on the market, it's already blown past all the other consoles. And the launch is accompanied by the release of a brand new Zelda game, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, released to outstanding reviews, tons of copies sold. I'm just hearing endless positives about both the system and the game. So go check that out if you're a Nintendo fan. Or if you're not a Nintendo fan, it seems like it's going to be very popular. One game that you can't get on the Nintendo Switch, however, is Ghost Recon Wildlands, a new Tom Clancy covert shooter set in a sprawling South American open world in which you fight to take down the drug cartels using any means necessary. I tried the beta for this one. It seems very interesting. Stealth gameplay in an open world is something that's intriguing, especially with the military shooter and strategic shooter elements in there. That's coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC this week. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that rendition of This Week in Entertainment. You know what? Something else I just realized, I forgot to mention this. I saw Logan. I don't know why this just came to me.
You're just thinking of this?
Yeah,
you saw Logan?
I totally forgot about this. I saw Logan.
It's supposed to be amazing.
It is. It is. It is worthy. If you're even remotely a fan of X-Men and Wolverine or Hugh Jackman, just go see it. It was definitely worth the price of admission. Very worthy conclusion to the Wolverine story.
I was going to say, because the previous two Wolverine spinoffs didn't do so well, but this has been getting
kind of redeemed it.
Yeah. It's that R rating. It's more mature. It's more real. It's grittier.
Yeah. Though there's still a lot of kids in it. Go figure.
You mean kids in the theater or kids in the movie?
No, in the movie.
Oh.
Yeah, but go figure, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. R-rated movie with kids. It's, yeah. You
know. But nevertheless, I enjoyed it. I think
Bringing this up now.
I know. I totally forgot about this in the intro. But the reason why it struck me was because you have a review of your own that you want to get off your chest. Please do.
So last week I talked about Horizon Zero Dawn being one of the big games releasing last week. I had waited until the reviews came out to pre-order the game. And once I found out that the reviews were spectacular, I immediately pre-ordered it. And I've been playing it religiously the past week. I've sunk an alarming amount of hours into this game already.
Classified.
Yeah. I'm not going to say how many hours because it is shocking. But I have to say, though, it's time well spent. I'm about 45% through the main story missions. Now, of course, this is an open world RPG, so you know the story missions are only a small part of it. It has so much more to offer. And the reason why I've sunk so many hours into it is because it's this game that just draws you in. It is so wonderfully crafted and constructed. And I'm just blown away by the fact that this is the developer's first time making an RPG. Before this, they'd only made shooters, first-person shooters. And so, you know, forget about stepping out of their comfort zone. They're getting in a plane and they're flying halfway around the world from their comfort zone. They're going from a sci-fi shooter to an open-world action RPG. And they just do a fantastic job with it. The characters are amazingly believable, and you just want to watch them succeed. The setup for the story is brilliant in that the character that you play as, I don't think I'm spoiling too much here. I'm going to try and keep it really spoiler-free in case anybody wants to play it. But the main character you play
like
as...
Like myself.
Yeah, like yourself. Well, you find this out in the opening intro, so it's not a secret. But the character you play as is an outcast from her tribe as an infant. So she hasn't even done anything to be an outcast yet, which immediately...
Except be a baby.
Except... Oh, those damn babies.
So annoying.
But it's such a smart narrative choice. Because as the character, you grow up separate from everybody else. So as you journey through the world, the character and you, the player, experience and learn things for the first time at the same time. So it's the story and the character are so intricately interwoven, the way that they introduce new elements. And it has that great hook where it's just, I want to find out why this baby was cast out as an infant. Like a baby can't do anything to deserve being cast out.
Have you ever met babies?
I have met babies. All they do is eat and poop and scream.
Yes, you are banished.
I could, okay, so from that perspective. So after like, you know, 50, 60 hours of gameplay. You get to the end, and it's like, and you were banished because you wouldn't stop crying.
Yes.
And the main character's like, oh, okay, I totally get that.
Yeah.
I totally agree with being banished for 18 years for that.
Stop screaming.
Stop. But I am absolutely in love with this game. I cannot stop playing it. I cannot stop thinking about it. Because the story is one thing. It has all these great narrative hooks. But it's the gameplay that really sells it. I have to give credit to Guerrilla Games for making one of the best action gameplay experiences that I've played. I think it's honestly one of the best games of this generation so far. I mean, you know, Uncharted 4, Overwatch, and then I would say Horizon Zero Dawn, because it's so tight and it's so well executed and it's so challenging. Any enemy can kill you in two or three hits. Like, you have to be on, and I'm only playing on normal, okay? I'm not one of those people that plays, you know, on very hard difficulty, because I'm not very good. So I just play on normal difficulty, and it's really challenging. If you're not paying attention, you can die from, like, the smallest, you know, flimsiest enemies. But the developer does a good job of telegraphing the enemy's moves. So, like, sounds and lights and animations, you can tell when they're going to attack and how they're going to attack. And if you spend the time fighting them enough, you learn these sort of indicators. So you get better the more you play. It's all a very well done system. And I just can't say enough great things about it. I really, really want everybody to go try this game. I'm only halfway done. Unless things drastically change in the second half of this game, right now I'm giving it a 9 out of 10. It's right. Got
but
it's
you're not
easily
done yet.
Nowhere near done. No, I'm only halfway through the main story. I've only done a few side quests, but it's a game that.
When did you get the game?
I got it on release day last Tuesday.
Okay, so you're a week in, and
a weekend. Yeah.
Just to give everyone a sense, yeah. He's been playing this for a week straight.
An alarming amount of time, Rich.
There you
an
go.
Alarming amount of time,
and he's halfway done.
Halfway done. Yeah. But it's a game that invites you into the world. You want to learn more. You want to learn how did the world get to the point where it got so advanced and then regressed so far? Because you come across ruins of these highly advanced cities, more advanced than we are today. But the characters in the game are wearing tribal clothing, and they talk about, like, the All Mother. You know, the mountain is the god. It has all this tribal, like, Native American-esque mythology to it, and so you wonder, how did we become so advanced and then revert back to primal tribal mentality, like prehistoric era type stuff? It's really interesting, and it makes you want to learn more about the game. But the biggest takeaway, I feel like I'm rambling a lot about this game because I love it so much.
One more thing, what do you got?
So I wanted to say that this is the biggest takeaway from this is I can't believe how good Sony is at cultivating these brand new IPs. Like, when you think about Nintendo, they have all the classics like Mario and Zelda, Metroid.
But they really haven't had anything new.
Right. They've been using those same ones, Donkey Kong. They've been using those same ones since, like, the 80s. Right?
Yeah.
But Sony, every generation, whether it's Crash Bandicoot or Ratchet and Clank or Uncharted, The Last of Us, Horizon, it's just constantly, Infamous, Little Big Planet.
Infamous,
it's just constantly these new IPs where they keep coming out with these stellar hits that are brand new. You know, it's constantly this new stuff.
Exclusive to Sony.
Exactly. This is a great testament to why you need to own a PlayStation. Because you can't play this game anywhere else other than PlayStation 4.
We're not being paid by Sony.
We're not. Although I would not turn down payment from Sony with the glowing review I'm giving Horizon. But it just, I don't know. I don't know how Sony does it. I don't know how they manage to churn out these amazing IPs one after another.
Well, I think a lot of it is they pay attention to developers. I mean, you mentioned a couple of studios that they work with.
Like Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
You know.
They put emphasis on working with the studios. So I think that's part of the reason why.
Yeah. They let the studios do what they want to do. You know, imagine this. Guerrilla Games, they say, okay, we've spent 15 years making first-person shooters.
Now we're going to go into this weird sci-fi dinosaur
Exactly.
Fantasy game.
They go to Sony. Imagine you're an executive. They say, we've done shooters for 15 years. We want to make an open world action RPG with robot dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Like, any, could you imagine Microsoft or Nintendo saying okay to that?
Probably not Microsoft.
Definitely. Microsoft only has two exclusives that I can think of, and they're both shooters. So I just got to give props to Sony for this. And also, I love the fact that this is giving Naughty Dog competition in terms of Sony-owned studios.
Yeah, there you go.
Because
battle of the best video game developers.
Right. For the longest time, Naughty Dog had been like the pinnacle, right?
Well, if only Ken Levine could have stuck with Irrational Games, then I think they would have challenged him. But
well, yeah.
Yeah.
I think anything Ken Levine does is going to be at the top of that list. But for Sony specifically, Naughty Dog was like their crown jewel.
Yeah.
You know, now all of a sudden, Guerrilla Games is coming out and they're changing things up. But yeah, I'm just in love with this game. I can't say enough great things about it. Everybody has to go check it out.
All right. So there you go. Go check out Horizon Zero Dawn if you've got a PlayStation. And check out Logan, too, because that was good as far as I'm concerned.
A lot of good reviews this episode.
Good reviews all around. Well, here's someone that's hoping for a good review. Let's go into our interview with Bob Kaplan. So we'll make it a official side dish with a phone interview. Yeah, busting out the phone music. Yeah.
It is appropriate.
It is appropriate. Anytime we get a phone interview, we play the special phone music call on me. Why not? yeah, excited to talk to Bob. He is the producer, executive producer and creator of Dollface Road to the Apocalypse. They finished up filming and they're asking for some help on their Indiegogo campaign. So let's launch right into the call.
How do you answer these types of calls? Do I just say hello?
yeah, don't worry. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing all right.
So we hear that Dollface, Road to the Apocalypse, is nearing completion. What's the status?
We are done principal photography.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Yeah, we have like a pickup shot to do, something simple. But for the most part, I mean, everybody's wrapped. So now we're just in post. So the funny thing, you know, it's being a film producer, it's like every victory is an empty victory.
How so?
Well, you know, I love it when my crew is wrapped, when, you know, they're all done and they worked hard and they're, you know, finally free. But as like, you know, as a producer, I'm never done.
That's right.
That makes sense.
My job is never over. So we got post-production. Most of that stress is all going on to our, you know, director and editor, Chris Schramm, who's going to be handling all the posts. But of course, you know, me and him need to work together on a lot of stuff. We need some art done. We need some music, and I have to help him with the credits and everything. And then once that's finished, then we got distribution. So, I mean, it never ends.
And I think that's a good way to lead into this fundraiser that you guys are trying to do on Indiegogo to fulfill your dream of getting this movie made. It's on Indiegogo. All you have to do is search for Dollface Road to the Apocalypse, and you can donate. I like how you have different tiers, and the tiers are named to parts in the movie. I thought that was a nice touch, including, if you don't mind me pointing out, Orderly, because, you know, yours truly was a special star, right?
Well, that's what I actually wanted to do. I was thinking about doing a little shift in this interview for me to ask you some questions.
So
you're on the spot now,
uh-oh.
Rich.
Uh-oh, okay.
Because, you know, Rich, you spent about like 2 days on set.
Yeah.
So I think there's no better way to talk about the film than for you to share your experiences on set as well.
Sure. I'll be happy to talk about it. It was a very fun weekend. It was Labor Day weekend, if I remember correctly, wasn't it? I believe it was.
Yeah, you get some crazy extras on Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. When you put out that call for mental patients, I think you might have gotten a couple of actual mental patients.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because it works out. Everything works out. We had some really crazy, some really passionate people, and it was cool because, you know, crazy, passionate people make excellent mental patients.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Because that was, you know, you were there for one of the craziest shoots.
Yes.
Because that was the day we had all the extras. And then the other crazy shoot was when we shot in the Fright Factory, and that was with all the effects and all the stunts and everything.
So that must have been a lot to coordinate then.
That was a 26-hour shoot, both days combined.
Wow.
So we shot for 13 hours for 2 days. And that's another plug to give out to the Fright Factory, because they really hooked this up. Our good friend Dave Fairbair, who is, you know, who works at the Fright Factory, and he's also, you know, a great actor. And, you know, he was able to hook us up with it. And they do, you know, they have some cool stuff there. You know, they got the haunted attraction during Halloween. And they also do, they have a locked room, which, escape room, wanted to do, because those things are, you know, Lee and Adam Yezzi, who, you know, played the doctor in the film, is also a producer. You know, me and him were just talking about, you know, we got to try out the escape room. It'd be like, we're running around like drunk, freaking out.
Adam Yezzi, if I remember correctly, he was the one that, is a magician, right?
Yeah. We don't like to talk about that.
Oops. Why not?
Well, I'm a comedian and he's a magician, and that's like, you know, that feud has been going on since the beginning of time.
Well, I just remember when we were doing the shoot for the mental patients, when we needed like to pass like time from like when cameras were setting up to roll, like just to pass the time. He was doing magic tricks, like that's how we were passing the time. And
we did a shoot with Adam in Westchester. Westchester University let us do the exterior shots for the mental hospital. And so we were there shooting, and the scene is when he first is introduced, and he's smoking a cigarette. Okay. So he smoked for about 2 hours straight, 2-3 hours straight. He had to smoke. And I've done that. I did that a long time ago. I did an 8-hour shoot where I was smoking the whole scene.
Okay. Wow. And that's why you have such a deep voice now.
Exactly. That's how it happened. You and I have complete polar opposite voices.
Yes. Obviously, I need to smoke some more. That's the solution.
Yeah. That's what it is. You got to take up smoking.
This is why I like doing the phone interviews, because, you know, I'm literally in my underwear and I'm about to go smoke a cigarette. Two things I couldn't have done if I came in, you know, to do the interview.
Yeah, that might be a little bit awkward with Bruno and Mike's parents over in the corner.
Yeah, just a little bit.
But that's how we roll here on the Christmas podcast.
I still have to say that was the only time doing an interview I've ever been offered an espresso.
Yes. Mike's parents are very accommodating. They're great.
Oh. You're never going to be on another podcast like this, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I am. I've never, you know, I like you guys a lot. I think you guys make it really fun and interesting. And I like what you do. Like, what game? I remember we were playing a game.
Oh, yeah.
When we were over. Password.
It was like
or something,
Pyramid,
wasn't
it? Right? It was sort of like Pyramid?
Yeah, it was like Pyramid, yeah. And we were doing, I remember, yeah. And that got intense. You guys were going at each other. Yeah, so yeah, we like to do games here on the podcast. And it was great to have all you guys actually here. I think that was
our biggest show in terms of number of people.
Right, we never had done three guests all at once. So that was an interesting episode. And by the way, thank you for organizing that, because without you, that wouldn't have happened. So thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's... You know, because Carolyn, you know, my partner, you know, the producer, which she's my rock, my glue. I couldn't do anything without her. And Sarah has shown to just, she's come so above and beyond on Dollface. She earned herself an associate producer credit.
Wow. There you go.
Because she's just, you know, she always, Sarah, like right now, I am in the works. I'm working on two web series that she'll be starring in.
Oh, wow. She could be your new muse. She could be your De Niro in all your flicks.
She's the Bruce Campbell to my Sam Raimi.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly.
So I'm doing, the one is actually called Sarah.
Okay.
That's appropriate.
And it's a slasher show. So it's like, you know, kill of the week, you know, mystery show. And we're trying to do something with, we're trying to get the old slasher format, which has been around since 1960. You know, we have the killer, we have the rules, we have the final girl. But in our case, we're going to make things a little different. We're not going to give you your average killer. He's not just going to stab and hack and slash. He's going to be a trained fighter who's hunting people that can actually be a challenge to him. And then our final girl is also not going to be your average final girl, because she's not going to just be the damsel in distress who runs away and eventually kills the killer. No, she's actually, her character, Sarah's playing a very dark part. You know, her character is an alcoholic, and she's also a kickboxer.
Oh, wow. That sounds badass.
So the character's got a lot of trauma behind her, but then, you know, we made her, because Sarah's fantastic. Sarah was a gymnast, so she's very, very good at picking up stunts. And she's done, like, the stuff she's done on Dollface, the flips and the fights have been absolutely incredible. I mean, she does all her own stunts. And this is why, like, when I was looking, like, I could not have asked for a better Dollface. Because physically, I wanted somebody short. I wanted, you know, a little killing machine. You know, she's a fitness model, so she's in shape, and she's a gymnast, so she has the experience and could do the stunts and all that. And Sarah just fits, she's really passionate about the role. She really got into the character. You know, she actually, me and Sarah together came up with the wardrobe. You know, so that was a team effort between the two of us. So she's really tailored this character alongside of me.
So does she also get a costume designer credit too?
Yeah, she does. She got a wardrobe credit.
Oh, there you go. Branching
out. Well, because originally she agreed to come on. She said, you know, I want to help out. And I said, well, you want to do wardrobe with me? Since she's a model, she knows fashion. So she's also very clumsy and has cut herself with her sword several times.
that's not good. No,
maybe take her away from the stunts then.
But... I was supposed to dull the sword. Oops.
Just one of those small oversights,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know it happens.
All of our weapons are real.
Wow,
lends authenticity to it.
Well, I know we even had a. I don't know if you guys watch Walking Dead.
Yeah,
but we had a Lucille replica in the film.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's right up my alley. I love Negan, so I'm going to have to keep an eye out for it when I watch this film.
Well, Adam Yazzie, you know, he runs, I co-founded a burlesque group with him years ago, and he runs the group, Carolyn Dixon. She works with him, I believe she's the stage manager, and he did, you know, for his Halloween show, he actually did the Negan speech, so he has a replica of Lucille. And I thought, you know, just throw it in Dollface. It's a, you know, we need a post-apocalyptic weapon.
Perfect. Yeah, that's a home run.
That's great. And I assume fans will really appreciate that little Easter egg in there.
Yeah, you know, and I'm a big fan. So it's funny because,
yeah.
And this is something, you know, if you have any horror fans in your audience, this is an old, I guess, feud between Wes Craven and Sam Raimi, where in the original Hills Have Eyes, There's a scene, I believe it's the scene where he bites the head off of a bird. Wes Craven got a Jaws poster and ripped it in half and put it in the background. So, you know, Sam Raimi thought that this meant, you know, you think Hills Have Eyes is scary. Well, this, you know, you think Jaws is scary. Well, this is Hills Have Eyes. So Sam Raimi, in the first Evil Dead movie, he got a Hills Have Eyes poster and ripped it in half, saying you think Hills Have Eyes is scary. Well, Evil Dead is true horror. So in Nightmare on Elm Street, there's a scene where the protagonist is up late watching Evil Dead. Now, in Evil Dead 2, Sam Raimi got the Freddy Krueger glove and put it above the door in the tool shed.
Wow. So it's this really long, not feud, I guess, but this sort of back and forth.
Yeah, some people call it a feud. If anything, like, you know, just more of a back and forth, you know, acknowledging each other's movies. And I love stuff like that. And that's why I think there's even a point where I'm not sure if you're going to be able to see it, but I did put a machete and a Jason mask in the patient effects room.
Nice. Ah. So you're paying honor to the previous standouts in the genre, but you're also doing things to change it and bring some new additions to the genre, sort of update it a little bit.
Yeah, and even the characters. Like, each character in Dollface represents a different archetype or a different, you know, killer, because we have Dollface, who was, you know, to me, she was inspired by Tank Girl. That's where I got the idea. This all started because some idiot was sitting up at 3 in the morning watching Tank Girl and said, wouldn't it be cool if she was fighting zombies? And then the rest is history.
Were you in your underwear when that happened, too?
I'm rarely not.
The best ideas happen when you're in your underwear.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We've learned that here on the Chris Mean Rule podcast.
No pants, no problem.
No pants, no problem. Perfect, yeah. That's actually a motto for our odd news portion, yeah.
So the different characters in Dollface, each one represents, you know, a different type of killer. So we have Bloody Mike, played by Wesley Green, who's supposed to be like your Jason-type character. You know, he wears a mask and he has a machete. And then we have Crazy Carla, who's supposed to kind of fit the, you know, the character of like Norman Bates or Leatherface, because she's a grave robber and a human taxidermist. And then we have Joe, who is basically, like, literally the character introduces herself and says, I was basically Heisenberg. So we're not, you know, there's no mystery there.
Was that one of the lines in the mental asylum? I think I was there for
that.
Yeah,
they say, who are you? What did you do? And she goes, I was basically Heisenberg.
Right, yeah. So that's why that struck a chord with me. I remember that. Yeah, that was during one of the shoots that I had with you
guys.
But
a lot of people have said, like, Dollface is kind of like the Deadpool of horror because, you know, she does break the fourth wall and, you know, because the character's crazy. So there's no limitations with a crazy character. You can do whatever you want. And, you know, this whole universe that I'm creating is kind of, in a sense, like, you can even consider it a parody in some regards.
Okay.
And I would say more of a homage to the entire genre. There's something, you know, I love horror because it can be scary or it can be funny.
And right. I think what you're getting at, this movie is kind of a little bit of both.
Yeah, people say, what is it? I'm like, it's a post-apocalyptic superhero horror comedy.
Yeah, that's right. It's on the title of the Indiegogo page as well. I think that's the best way to describe it.
You know, a lot of people are on board this project. And the reason I want to do this Indiegogo is because I want everybody, we put a lot of money into this project. We raised some of it with fundraisers and some donations and doing a comic book convention. And, you know, a lot of it's been out of pocket as well. And a lot of people have worked for free. And I don't, you know, they've worked very hard. It was a very long project, much longer than it should have been. So I really want to raise this money to pay my crew, you know, for the work they've done. And, you know, I mean, even everybody has been so passionate, they even offered to put up money when we needed it. And luckily we didn't have to do that. But, I mean, just having a crew that's willing to not only work for free, but even put up their own money just because they, you know, want to finish this project and they love this film.
Wow. It's like a passion project. Everybody's really committed to it.
Yeah, and everybody said this is unlike anything coming out of Philly right now. I mean, we've merged so many genres together. I mean, it's something different. And it's just, it was one of these ideas that just haunted me. I couldn't stop thinking about it. So I had to do it.
Well, I think that's appropriate for a horror film if that it haunts the creator to have to do it.
People wonder why so many horror writers suffer from night terrors.
Yeah, there you go. This might be why.
My nightmares are so bad, my dream catcher above my bed is falling apart.
It's working overtime.
Yeah, it's going to walk out of the room sooner or later. Just like, I've had enough. Yeah. I'm clocking out.
I'm just waiting one morning to wake up and it's on fire.
Sure, but that could happen.
But, I mean, you know, H.P. Lovecraft, the great forefather of horror, suffered from night terrors, and that's what he wrote about.
Yeah, there you go. Draw from experience. Why
yeah.
not?
Yeah. But another thing I did want to talk about, we are going to be at the Philly Cosplayers Comic Book Convention on March 25th. We're going to be doing, you know, we'll have a table, a booth, where you can get your autographed doll face photos, on skeet photos and posters, and we're also going to have a panel. We you know, this is the same people we did an event with back in August, maybe August 13th. Rochelle Davis will be there. In case you didn't know, Rochelle Davis was the little girl in The Crow.
Ooh, I always forget about The Crow. That was a good movie.
Well, you know, I went up to her and I said, you know, what you did, you know, if it wasn't for you, there'd be no me, because you have The Crow, which is another movie that mixes the horror, you know, the horror elements with the superhero elements.
So I guess, yeah, you're drawing from that as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many inspirations. I mean, Evil Dead has been, you know, will always be my biggest inspiration for everything. Speaking of which, the other pilot I'm working on will be starring Sarah Weber, and Mary Sack is another actress I work with who is phenomenal. And I'm actually doing a Grindhouse web series. I'm actually meeting with Mark Mackner to start working on the script. And Mark is a friend of mine. He's been a friend and a mentor. Originally, you know, Mark has, you know, been a big influence and helped me out and let me find some people that worked on Dollface. And Mark is a guy, people will describe his movies as the best bad movies you'll ever see. Mark Mark makes movies just for horror fans. I mean, he makes these funny, campy, you know, horror films, and I love them. They're not for everyone. You know, if you really appreciate the genre, you could really appreciate his work. And his movie, Half-Life Horror from Hell, is rated the 12th best zombie movie on IMDb.
Whoa.
Wow. That's impressive.
I didn't even realize that. Wow. Fun facts you learn every day. That's crazy.
Yeah, there's more I know about the genre than I'm comfortable to admit.
Well, that shows you that you're really passionate about it, and I think it's going to show when this film is finally done and gets released, and we all see it, because I want to see the final product as well. I want to see.
Indifferent Coffee Orderly.
Yeah, right. That was the title you guys gave me, Indifferent Coffee Orderly. Yeah.
You literally said to me, hey, free today. Can I be in Dollface?
Yeah. I appreciate that. It was really cool. I hadn't done acting since like college. So
yeah, I was gonna ask you about that, because you mentioned, you know, when I remember you put an Instagram post like back in the acting again.
Yeah, it was the first time I had done any sort of acting role since college. I was I did a couple of student written plays, and then in high school I was Sir Edward Ramsay for The King and I. Mike knows.
You're going back real far. Yeah.
Mike was there.
I worked on the tech crew for the stage productions in high school.
Yeah, so Mike saw it firsthand. So thank you for getting me slipping me in a quick role into your film.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, people you always say, like, you know, is it? You know, people act like it's a big deal asking to come on board, and I'm like, you know, anybody wants to volunteer their time, you're more than welcome. You know, if anything, you know, I'll make sure you're fed. I'll make sure you get the credit. And
yeah, that's right. You brought like a huge ton of what was it, macaroni salad? I remember.
Yeah, I made pasta. This entire production has been famous by my pasta salad.
Yeah, it was like a tub of it. It was crazy, but it was really good too.
Thank you. Yeah, actually, it's funny because I mixed it up the last shoot. I used ranch dressing this time, and people went nuts.
Oh, wow. There you go. Insider cooking information here with Bob Kaplan here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
But, you know, number two rule of filmmaking is feed your crew.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You got to keep them happy, right?
That's right. But
number one rule is Murphy's Law.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We that also applies for podcasting.
Oh,
we know
yes.
That definitely applies to podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. But to get it back on point here, just want to reiterate for everyone, Bob's film Dollface Road to the Apocalypse, doing some crowdfunding here on Indiegogo.com. All you got to do is search Dollface Road to the Apocalypse. There's various tiers that you can participate in, which I love, ranging from mental patient and decapitated corpse all the way down to vigilante and the doctor. Donation levels. It's all worth it. It's all for a local project here in the Philadelphia area.
We definitely tried to make things beneficial to anyone who donates.
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing social media shout outs like every day to people who donate, and you know, we do have lots of prizes and credits, and you know, we even have props where, you know, we're giving in exchange for a donation. We get the orderly costumes. I can.
Oh, there you go. You can get the costume I wore.
So if you donate, Rich, you can get your costume.
You're really lucky that you were the first to wear that, because you were sure as hell not the last.
Okay, there you go. So you can get a costume that I and some other sweaty guys wore as well. All these benefits are waiting for you if you donate to Dollface Road to the Apocalypse. I really encourage it. I had a blast shooting my extra role during that weekend, and yeah, I can't wait to see the finished product.
Yeah, and we shot some of our best stuff that day too. There's just this one scene with Melissa O'Donnell, who played Crazy Carla, where she is on the table. I think you remember this part, screaming, trying to attack Dollface, and it's the best photo we have from the production. James Murray even said it's the best photo he's taken.
Yeah,
you see Dollface screaming. You see Crazy Carla on the table. You see Bloody Mike laughing. You see Pedophile jerking off. and then you see our director and cameraman just so into the scene.
Yeah, it's. I believe it's up on. Is that one on Indiegogo? I believe it's on Indiegogo.
I put a bunch of on-scene photos there, and we also have some behind-the-scenes footage and some promos in the pitch video for Indiegogo.
Yeah, it's definitely worth to see that picture, though. Picture speaks a thousand words.
We are also we have a trailer that'll be out very soon, and once it's out, it's going to be premiered on Tyrone Magnus's channel. Tyrone Magnus is a very fantastic YouTuber. He is known as The Reactor, and he has 1 million. You know, last time I checked, he had 970,000 subscribers, and he's probably well over a million at this point because he, you know, he's been moving so fast. And he was in the film. He played the defender, and another, you know, great guy who's been, you know, really helping out promoting the film. He'll actually be at the convention on the 25th. Actually, I have the information right in front of me now. It's called Philly Comics and Cosplay Day. It is March 25th at the Trinity Center for Urban Life. That's 22nd and Spruce.
One last call for everyone. Go check out the Indiegogo page. Check out Dollface Road to the Apocalypse. And help
this
movie
get made. You can also go to Facebook.com/KillerDollface.
That's right, too. Follow the page. Why not? It's all about social media. Whatever you do, help this movie get made. A local production, and it's Bob Kaplan's baby that he wants to see get made. Please do it, or else he won't go to sleep.
You know, this has been the worst pregnancy of my life.
Well, it's,
but it's almost the due date, right?
Right, it's almost
due date. It was a long, I think we started in around June or July is when we started shooting. A lot of us have been on this project for over a year now. I think it was about December 2015 is when a lot of us have been working on it. But we started shooting around June and July, and it's been a very difficult project. We, you know, Murphy's Law f***ed us in the
That's a good way to put it.
I hope you don't cut that part out.
No, just maybe a bleep. That might be the only thing you have to do.
But no, you know, it's funny because we ended up shooting in two different churches.
That's right. I totally forgot about that. The scene that we did with the mental patients, yeah, that was in a church.
That was the basement of a church, and then we were supposed to actually shoot more stuff there, but since the production took so long, we lost the space because once school came back, you know, they used it on the weekends.
Hopefully don't mind the big blood.
It's St. Bernadette's Church in, Drexel. They've been really great. And then we were at another church in Chester Springs where we filmed the doctor's office scenes, which is the bulk of the movie. And I'll tell you, I've never had more fun designing a set before.
Well, I mean, you have a lot of little trinkets at somebody's office. So, yeah, you got to come up with all the little
knickknacks. Yeah, it's just all lots of weird stuff. It's funny. It's fun. It's, like you said, Easter eggs. Like my friend Haley Bernard, who helped me out in very, very early stages of the script. You know, she kind of asked me the right questions to help me go forward with the writing. And I actually put her book in a bookcase in the doctor's office, her book, The Hookman Legacy, you can get on Amazon if it's a young adult horror book. But I like stuff like that. You know, she helped out in the film, and we put her book in a bookcase somewhere.
Oh, nice. Yeah, those references are nice to pick out.
There you go, folks. So check out this movie, and check out the Indiegogo page, Dollface Road to the Apocalypse.
The Indiegogo, people don't realize, too, once a movie's done shooting, it's the money's still... The money is still needed. I mean, you know, there's still stuff that needs to be paid for in post-production as well. I mean,
of course.
Making a movie is a long project.
Yeah, Road to the Apocalypse is on the road to completion. So people need to pitch in and help now, right?
And people say, oh, well, what are we doing for the sequel? I'm like, what are you, f***ing nuts?
Yes, good answer.
You're trying to finish good the first answer. Race, right?
No, the second movie will be a feature called Dollface Rise of the Freaks.
So you have been thinking about a sequel.
I want to turn this into an expanded universe. I want this to be a story where lots of things are going on at once and things are crossing over.
Expanded universes are all the rage right now.
Yeah, and if you're going to do an expanded universe, there better be a spot for the indifferent coffee orderly, all right? I better have a role in this.
Well, as long as you don't die in Dollface.
All right, yeah, that's a good point.
And you get enrolled in the podcast. Well, you know, and I don't care about continuity. Like, some actors are like, oh, well, you know, I wish I didn't die in this one. I'm like, you could be in the next one. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, you have undead as part of the story, right? So people could always come back.
Well, there's that. And just, I mean, like, you know, Carolyn Dixon, who, you know, you guys met, who's, you know, the producer. She also plays a nurse who becomes a mutated freak and gets decapitated by his doll face, just like many people in the movie, and, including myself. I got my head cut off. There's already been two films I've been worked on in the past few months where I've been decapitated in the first scene.
Okay, interesting track record.
I got my head cut off in Dollface, and I got a blowjob and then a decapitation in Killers 2 in the first scene.
Wow. There you go. What a track record.
What an evening.
I want to do something like John Dies at the End, except it's going to be called Bob Gets Down Decapitated in the First Scene.
Yeah. So,
thank you guys so much for you know, having us on, always, you know, supporting the cause. You know, you helped out a lot with the Academic Probation Tour and the, you know, and Dollface. We got a lot of stuff in the future.
Yeah, let us know what's coming on the horizon, all right,
yeah,
Bob?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, always here. You know, any support you guys need from us, just let us know.
Maybe a screening when the movie is finalized, because we want to see the final product, all right?
Oh, yeah. You know, anybody listening, you know, support the film if you can. Any support helps, whether you want to donate money or just share the link so other people can hear about it, or just, you know, even just getting the word out, hearing about Dollface. So people want to see the movie when it's done. But as well as that, you know, try to come meet us on the 25th. You know, we're going to have a panel. We're going to have a table so you can come meet us and hang out. And, you know, we have a lot of fun.
Yeah, so there you go. You can see the crew and the cast in person if you want to do that as well. Or just share the information that we will obviously post as well on the Indiegogo page for Dollface Road to the Apocalypse. Bob, thank you
Absolutely.
For calling us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
No problem, all right? We'll talk to you later, all right?
All right,
see you later, yeah. Bob. Oh, man, it's always good to talk to Bob.
He always has such great stories, and I love listening to the stories because they're so funny.
Yeah.
You know, he just – and I'm hoping that Dollface Road to the Apocalypse is the same way. If his storytelling here on the podcast is any indication, I can't wait to see the movie.
Exactly. Not just because I'm in it, but I do want to see.
You're just watching it for yourself. You're going to find the scene. You're going to pause it.
There's my moment.
There I am.
My moment of glory. No, I do want to see how the final product turns out, because it does seem like an interesting story. And like,
definitely.
And like you said, it's a mixture of all these different genres, horror, comedy, superhero. Yeah. So I'm interested to see what the final product is after you threw all those genres into a blender and you took out this fantastic movie. So we'll see what he came up with, especially faster if you donate to the Indiegogo campaign. Go check it out. But for now, that will do it for us here in the Side Dish and the Entertainment Entree. We're going to take a break, but don't go anywhere, because I've got your batch of odd news coming your way. Brand new batch. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunching.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A Wyoming high school student who was able to build a nuclear reactor was...
Wait, what? Is that literally the first line of the story?
Yep. A Wyoming high school senior who built a nuclear reactor was disqualified from the International Science and Engineering Fair this month on a technicality. It seems that the senior had competed in too many science fairs.
What? How's that fair? It's like, oh, he's so smart. He's competed in so many. He literally built a nuclear reactor, something that rocket scientists have a hard time with, and he gets disqualified?
Yeah, sadly. He still is planning to graduate from high school this month and wants to go to the South Dakota School of Mines. I don't know if it's actually mines.
Yeah, wait, the School of Mines.
Yeah, okay. M-I-N-E-S. I don't know if that's like a place or if it actually means landmines or something.
Landmines?
Welcome to campus. Good luck.
If you can make it to class, you've already passed.
Jeez.
What is that? That's the incoming freshman class.
There you go, the South Dakota School of Mines.
That's not even what the story was about.
No, but sometimes it's little things.
Yeah, anyway.
Like a landmine!
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for Tura!
back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Good interview there with Bob Kaplan.
Yeah.
He's always a fun dude to talk to, man.
Yeah. Always enjoy having him on the show.
Yeah. Got to get that movie made. I want to see the final product. Make sure to visit his Indiegogo page for Dollface Road to the Apocalypse. But speaking of roads, let's recap what we've done. We've done the sports sampler, the entertainment entree, a side dish interview. So that leaves one thing left on this road of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. Join us on our last stop on our journey. And it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? See? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell of a ride.
Odd news.
That's right, everybody. Get ready for the non-fortune cookie odd news. This is the segment where Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these wacky and wild stories, keeps them hidden from me, so that this is my very first time hearing them. All my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen, and even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths, and I'm ready. Let's get this thing going.
All right. Last week we had a special edition of the odd news.
That's right, of course.
So I feel like we're getting back in the swing of regular odd news, and the fact that you know, we got some new news to present to you. So I figured the best way to get reacquainted with our regular cycle of odd news, Florida. Why not?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah, you got to have Florida.
That's right. Our good old friend, Florida.
Yep. And our first story has to do with some Taco Bell. Yeah.
Wow. That was alarmingly loud.
Yes. And appropriate marketing, right?
Oh, Taco Bell. Taco Bell, product placement with Taco Bell. Incherito, macho burrito.
Yes, so perfect.
We're not being paid by Taco Bell.
No, we're not. And I don't think they would want to pay us after this story came out.
Oh, no.
In Florida, five women ranging in the age of 31 to 48 were arrested Thursday on a prostitution sting.
Oh, okay.
The arrest took place at a Westside apartment in the South Metro area. In four cases, the woman offered to perform a sex act on an undercover detective in exchange for money. But the fifth woman arrested, her name Buffy Bryan, told a detective posing as a customer that, quote, "I'll perform oral sex for two soft shells tacos."
I mean, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Would you like to know how much that is at Taco Bell?
Can't be more than $5.
$2.14.
Oh, God. I mean, I don't know what type of service you're getting for $2. Oh, that's amazing. $2.14?
Yeah. For some oral sex.
Was she good looking, though? Or... You know, I don't know. That seems on the cheap end, don't you think?
47-year-old Buffy Bryan is now charged with offering, committing, or engaging in prostitution or Assassination? What?
What? Okay. No.
They come up with it.
Wait, no, that has to be. Yeah. Are you reading that right? Assassination?
Assignation? Assignation?
I have no idea. I'm going to try and look it up. Assignation? An appointment to meet someone in secretly, typically one made by lovers?
Wow! So it is?
The allocation or attribution of someone or something as belonging to something.
All right, well.
That's a crime?
Apparently, if it's in prostitution. In terms of prostitution, I
guess. In terms of prostitution. So meeting someone secretly. So as long as you're in the open and everybody knows, you can't be charged with assignation.
Yeah, not specifically assignation, yeah.
That's very strange.
Thank you, Taco Bell.
I feel like that should be a new thing. Whenever one of us is like, I don't know, that's strange. Dong! It's like Taco Bell is sponsoring our stupidity.
Thank you, Taco Bell. For her, it is the third offense. So, what? It's her third offense, but she's been arrested for prostitution 9 times.
Something doesn't quite add up there.
Yeah. What are you guys doing? Florida, naughty cops.
Yeah. They caught her, what, 9 times, but she's only been...
arrested. This is her third time she's been arrested.
Okay.
So
what happened to the other 6 times?
Yeah, right? I don't know whatever happened the other 6 times, but...
The other 6 times the cop went and got 2 soft shell tacos.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, man. I have to remind you, though. Do you remember the lady who asked for nachos as payment?
Yeah.
This is like the sequel to that.
Right.
So people are moving up from nachos to tacos. What's the third?
I think you mean going down. Because nachos, you can do like cheese and meats. And you can rack up a bill for nachos. Especially if it's like Nacho Grande or something.
Well, yeah, but we don't know if it was a Nacho Grande. Because wasn't that also at Taco Bell?
I don't know. Was it?
I think it was.
What is it with Taco Bell and prostitution? What is going on?
I don't think Taco Bell ever thought that they would be associated with prostitution quite the way you made it out to be right there.
Yeah.
What is it with Taco Bell and prostitution? You just can't keep them away. They're like flies. Oh, boy. But so your argument is nachos are more valuable than tacos.
I thought so, because nachos you can add like steak and cheese. Like there are multiple layers to nachos
I'm going to look up Taco Bell nachos.
But tacos are just, especially this is specifically soft shell tacos. We have a price, $2.14.
Okay, $2.14. Let me see if I can find... I'm so confused. I looked up Taco Bell nachos and it took me to. Okay, nachos Bel Grande is $3.50.
Okay, yeah, so you're going down.
Oh, so you're going down by asking right. for tacos.
Exactly. That's my point. Shame. Go down. Go up.
Go up.
Come on. Ask for like guac or something. That usually raises the price.
So, I'm looking at the Taco Bell menu and this is making me really hungry.
You mean not sexy?
No, no.
I mean, all these prostitutes seem to hang out.
You go to Taco Bell, you get a Crunchwrap Supreme, you're like, oh man, I'm so turned on right now.
I don't know, there must be a reason. All these hookers,
there must be some correlation, yeah.
They're hanging around the Taco Bell, I don't know. So,
I mean, there are a lot of Taco Bell's foods are cylindrically shaped. Is that what it is? There's stuff with meat? Tacos stuffed with meat?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, Taco Bell, Taco Bell. Product placement with Taco Bell. Incharito, macho burrito.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think they want our type of product placement.
Yeah. Let's move on to another Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, I know you like these stories, Mike, so okay. I pulled this one just for you. Brooksville police arrested a man who they say was swinging 2 swords at random customers in Walmart. Oh, yeah.
Oh, just... my gosh.
I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
2 swords. So
at a Walmart.
At a Walmart.
Sure.
Florida Walmart swords. That's the triple crown right there, I think. Was he naked and inebriated? Because that would really complete the entire picture.
Responding officers were called by the store's manager, who said that someone was threatening customers in the Walmart parking lot. When they got there, they found Shannon Schneck.
That sounds like a fake name. Shannon Schneck.
Schneck. Give you something to schneck about. They found Shannon Schneck carrying two swords and appearing to be under the influence of drugs or alcohol.
Ding, ding, ding. There you go.
Several witnesses told officers that Schneck had assumed a, quote, fighting stance. And
she like a samurai warrior?
Apparently. And unsheathed the two swords in a threatening manner while approaching random customers as they exited their vehicles.
Oh, my God.
So, wow, just not even a reason. Just
because.
Yeah.
Just because it's Florida and it's Walmart. Why not?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
Oh, man, that's amazing. So she's just wandering around the parking lot, just constantly drawing her swords and putting them away. She'll, like, walk up to someone and be like, oh, washa, and draw her sword and, like do some crazy martial arts moves and then just wander off.
Look at my martial arts!
Look at my martial arts. I want every martial arts movie to have that as, like, the key line of dialogue before the fight starts. Look at my martial arts!
Look at my karate!
It is vastly superior to yours! And then they both float up into the sky. You know how they do in, like, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon? Oh, my gosh. So, this is amazing. So, she owns the swords, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? And she has two of them.
Right.
And she just decided, you know what? I need to go to Walmart.
No, it's a man. Shannon.
A man or a woman?
Yeah, it's a man. The police report says a man.
Oh, I guess Shannon Sharp.
Right.
Okay.
So, this is a man.
It's a man. Okay. For some reason, I thought it was a woman.
Right. Shannon's usually, I think, usually I would think a woman's name.
Right. Like, not 9 out of 10 times.
But yeah, you're right. Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Officers also found marijuana on Schneck.
Okay.
As well as a glass pipe. Schneck, unfortunately, is a previous convicted felon.
There's a shocker. You're telling me the guy that's wandering around with swords completely inebriated in a Walmart parking lot. Do you honestly think he had a clean record? Come on now, Florida.
So, unfortunately, here's the list of charges he now faces. He faces charges of possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, 2 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and 3 counts of possession of a weapon by a convicted felon. He is in jail on a $36,000 bond.
I'ma f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style!
So, yeah, he's got some charges to answer.
Oh, it must be, like, really, really exhausting being a cop in Florida.
Yeah, you got to run around and deal with all this crap.
First, you're making undercover deals with prostitutes for tacos. Then you're running over to Walmart. Oh, you got to put down the guy who's got the swords, you know? And then it's just nonstop for those cops in Florida.
Yeah. Well, it is. I got one more Florida odd news story for you.
Okay.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, you're right. We've got busy job if you're a cop in Florida, apparently. Because we have this story here.
Also, Florida has a lot of odd news right now.
Yep. Investigators in Florida are seeking to identify a Florida bank customer who went to an ATM machine and deposited not just cash, but also a bag of cocaine.
Can I get change for this? Like, was he trying to exchange it for, like, meth or something? I don't understand what was the logic. Or does he have, like a drug bank account?
Yeah, is there a specialized drug lord bank account?
Yeah. You know, it's like, you put in your debit card, you're going to withdraw some money from your checking account, and then you're going to withdraw some money from your drug account.
Right, so...
Or rather, some drugs from your drug account.
So please give me the bags of cocaine.
Yeah.
I need it for safekeeping.
Of course. Put it in my safety deposit box.
According to a police report, a technician was directed to examine an ATM that had gone out of service earlier this month at a Suncoast Credit Union branch. The ATM's deposit mechanism was jammed. Upon studying the ATM, the technician discovered what caused the jam, a small clear baggie that contained a white powdery substance. Cops reported that the technician concluded that the substance was possibly with the cash of the last person who made the deposit, causing the malfunction. So he like inserted the cash and the cocaine like all at once.
Did he have like the baggie like maybe like in between two bills?
I think so. I think that's what happened.
You got to keep your drugs in a separate pocket from your money. Come on.
One pocket's your money. Your other pocket is your drugs.
I mean, this is basic stuff.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Come on, guys. keep your drugs and your money separate.
Police obtained the name on the bank account of the last deposit made just before the ATM was placed out of service. And the cops are going to follow up on this. So I'm sorry for whoever the last deposit was at this ATM, because the cops are targeting you.
What if it wasn't the last deposit? Like, I mean, I don't know how the internal mechanisms work, but they might get the wrong guy.
The powdery substance, cops reported, tested positive for cocaine and was, quote, properly placed into property and evidence. Okay.
I don't know why they needed to specify that.
Yeah.
Don't.
We totally took care of that in the proper and just way. Do not worry. Please move on.
And the partner's just snorting it in the background. Yeah. Right into evidence.
Right into my evidence.
Yeah. I don't know why, but it worries me the fact that they had to specify that. Don't. It's like, no, don't worry. We definitely took care of it.
Yeah.
And no need to be suspicious here. What? Oh, that's just powdered sugar on my nose.
Yes, I had a wonderful donut.
Yes, delicious.
Eight donuts.
A lot of donuts.
Yes.
You could say that I have a sugar high, but that's the only type of high that I have. Absolutely no funny business here.
Yes.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go to Taco Bell.
All at once.
All at once, yeah.
Knocking out all the crimes. And I also have my samurai sword with me. Please.
Just pulls out a samurai sword.
I'm legally allowed to carry this. Bye-bye.
I'm on my way to Taco Bell. I take back what I just said about them having a tough job. They have the best job.
Yeah, cocaine, samurai swords, and hookers.
There you go. That's
Taco Bell.
And Taco Bell. And that's really the cherry on top, is the Taco Bell.
I think that's the winner.
Yeah, the winner of the Florida segment is Taco Bell.
Yeah, good job, Taco Bell. All right, we're done with Florida. I figured that was good to get us back into the swing of things.
Hey, you know, reacquainting us with the odd news, it's good.
Yeah. Let's move to another state here. We're going to go to South Carolina in this next story.
Home of, what's his name? The guy from House of Cards, who I can't remember now.
Oh, Frank Underwood?
Frank Underwood, there we go.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, South Carolina.
From South Carolina.
Yep.
Never slap a man when he's chewing tobacco.
Okay. Let's find out.
I love House of Cards. What can I say?
I do, too. Let's see what we have in store here. A judge has issued an arrest for a South Carolina woman who allegedly assaulted her ex-boyfriend after yelling profanities and throwing sex toys around the victim's residence, according to a police report.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
That's embarrassing. He's just like, officer, I got beat with a dildo.
Investigators charged that 30-year-old Kelly Gottfried arrived uninvited last night to the home of her former boyfriend. They dated for about 5 months. The 34-year-old victim told cops that after he told Gottfried to leave, she, quote, started yelling profanities, throwing sex toys around the residence, and yelling the following, quote, you are a dildo, and go dildos.
What are they, Pokemon?
Yeah.
Dildo, I choose you.
The only thing I can think of is this.
Go banana.
Yes. Go banana.
Orange. Go banana.
Go oh my dildos. Gosh. Go dildo. Oh my gosh. It's Ralph Wiggum playing Pokemon. The sex toy.
Orange. Go banana.
Oh, this is amazing. I just imagine her carrying like this heaping bag of dildos ready for a fight, you know?
The witness added that he tried to get Godfrey to calm down and not yell about dildos, but obviously attempts failed.
I can't imagine why they broke up.
Apparently, one of the sex toys struck the victim in the face.
Oh, no.
When he was distracted, that's when Godfrey threw him around the apartment.
Wow.
She went MMA all of a sudden. Just
that's the secret. Distract them with a dildo, and then your body
charge! Slam. Bam!
Oh, that's amazing. Go dildo! I can't get over that. Go dildo!
Orange! Go banana!
I can't get that thought out of my head now.
By the time cops arrived at the victim's home, Godfrey had departed. A judge has now issued an arrest warrant charging Godfrey with domestic violence. According to court records, she has another pending domestic violence case on her hands.
Against the same person or a different person?
Does not say in the news report. But so
she's a violent one.
Yeah, she's violent with sex toys.
She has an arsenal of sex toys.
Yeah, and she's not afraid to use them.
Why did she show up ready to use them as weapons?
I think she had it like ready for a battle. Like, go dildos!
Go dildos!
Yeah, and you are a dildo.
Go orange! Go banana!
That's one of my favorite Simpsons quotes.
It will never be the same for you.
No, it will never be the same. Oh my gosh. That's like the HBO Simpsons.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, though. I love the fact, though, that she came prepared.
Yeah.
And she's and she's talking to them like they're like living entities. Go dildo. Like fight for me.
Yes.
Fight for my honor.
Fight for my honor.
Go orange. Go banana.
Oh.
All right. Ready for our next story here?
Yeah.
Going to New Mexico in this one.
Okay. We don't really go to New Mexico in the odd news.
Not usually.
It's too hot down there for people to do anything weird, I think.
Well, we got one here.
Okay.
A 23-year-old New Mexican woman was arrested Friday night on DWI charges after she kept doing cartwheels after cops told her to stop. This is a very creative way to try and get out of a ticket here.
I know. I'll just cartwheel away. We can't handcuff her because she keeps spinning around.
Early Friday evening, officers got reports of a black Volkswagen driving recklessly. They discovered 23-year-old Brielle Marshall passed out behind the wheel in a vehicle matching that description in the same area at 6 p.m.
Oh, man.
She's having a rough day.
Yeah, your life took a bad turn there.
The sedan was parked partially in a roadway and in a driveway in a trailer park.
Okay.
So she didn't quite pull into the trailer park. She has half her vehicle out still on the road and half still in the trailer park.
This is confusing to me because if she... So the fact that the car wasn't like crashed into something indicates that she got to a point and said, you know what? This is as good as it's going to get. Yeah. I'm going to take a little nap.
I'm done.
Because if she had just passed out, it would have kept going, right?
Right.
Or it would have rolled somewhere.
No.
The fact that it was stopped, that means that she was able to consciously make the decision, this is far enough.
Yeah, this is
turns good. The car off, passes out.
This is good enough.
This is good enough.
Officers said that she was extremely intoxicated and kept stumbling and smelled of alcohol.
How did she manage to do cartwheels?
Well, here, let's get into this.
Okay.
She had a difficult time listening to officers' commands. When a DWI officer gave her instructions on how to complete a standardized field sobriety test, Marshall responded by saying, look what I can do, and doing cartwheels over and over again.
You know what, though? You know what? You got to admire her her initiative, because she's like, you know, they want me to walk a straight line. That's not going to prove anything. I'm going to do a cartwheel. That'll show them.
Not just one.
Many.
Multiple over and over again.
Oh, that's amazing.
In a body cam video, you can hear a cop saying, quote, this is serious. This isn't a joke. I don't know.
She was serious, too. She was trying to prove that she wasn't drunk.
He says, also, I don't know why you're doing cartwheels or whatever they're called.
Or whatever they're called.
Good job, New Mexico cops. Don't know what this is called. Marshall then replied, yeah, I guess I don't know why either.
All right, then.
Yeah, she's honest.
She is honest. That's true. Oh, I don't know why either.
But here I go.
One more time.
The fun, unfortunately, though, came to an end when one of her cartwheels landed a kick on an officer.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
She was then tackled and arrested. Marshall was then charged with battery, aggravated DWI, and an expired license plate. Damn, she didn't win anything there.
No, she didn't.
She was released on bail from the detention center later that day.
I just love this image of, like, somebody cartwheeling away from police. Like, they can't catch
her.
Right,
I'm going to get away.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
I feel like that would be an effective method of escaping. Because, like, you cartwheel and, like, you don't want to get in the way of that because you're going to get kicked. Right? So just imagine she's just cartwheeling away and the cop's like, we can't grab her. Her limbs keep shifting, you know?
She won't stop.
She won't stop.
Yeah.
She just starts cartwheeling. Can you really charge her with a DWI if she's able to cartwheel?
Yeah, I think so. If they can, I mean, they smelled alcohol and she couldn't listen.
But she's cartwheeling.
She couldn't listen to commands.
I can't cartwheel sober, Rich.
I can't either.
So if she can cartwheel and she's had a few drinks, I don't think, you know.
Without throwing up, too. That's also
that
a plus.
That's impressive. That's impressive. Yeah. So. I feel like they should let her go. I mean, obviously they have to keep her because she kicked a cop.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't charge her with the intoxication, though.
Fair enough. I would agree.
I think, yeah, we should contact
New
Mexico. We should be lawyers.
Yes. All right.
Your Honor, I would like to submit into evidence my attempt at a cartwheel, and I am completely sober right now.
My attempt? You're going to actually do a cartwheel?
And you just crash. You crack your skull. You pop up. You're like, I rest my case. If she can do a cartwheel, that must mean she's sober.
So that would be the whole court case.
That would be the whole court case, yeah.
I think that's a sound argument.
I think so, too. There you go. Yes.
Here we go.
The hard-hitting case of the cartwheel convict.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Yes. In New Mexico, we're trying to defend women who want to do cartwheels for our amusement.
This is the CVU, the Cartwheel Victims Unit?
Yes.
Or, no, because then you'd be a victim of a cartwheel.
A victim of a cartwheel.
Well, he wouldn't stop cartwheeling.
Yeah, that's what the police are.
They're a victim of cartwheels.
Oh, God.
Tell me where he cartwheeled. Or she tell me where she cartwheeled.
She wouldn't stop, man.
It was just feet and arms everywhere.
It was like a propeller.
A human propeller. It was terrifying. Oh, the Cartwheel Victims Unit.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it works.
She should get off.
Yeah.
At least one of the charges.
If you can cartwheel, come on. She's not drunk if she can cartwheel.
I think I agree with you.
So, there you go, New Mexico.
All right, I got one last story for you, Mike. You ready? You ready for this one?
Yeah, what do you got?
Boy. In what has to be one of the biggest cases ever of having the work blues, a Japanese man literally stabbed himself so he could avoid going into work.
Oh, man. What was that?
This is no joke. That's the Google result if you type in screaming Asian man.
Okay.
Fun fact.
That's, yeah, screaming Asian man. And that's the noise that this guy made when he stabbed himself to get out of work.
Yeah, I think that's exclusive audio. The disheartened employee, 58-year-old Masaru Miura of Kasuga in Japan's Eki Prefecture, reportedly stabbed himself in the hip on a subway station bathroom at the Nagoya Municipal at 7:30 in the morning last Wednesday.
Make it sound like he's winning a prize.
Well, he gets a day off of work.
Yeah, that's true. Now, why couldn't he just take a day off? Unless he was trying to fake it, like, oh, it's an emergency. Don't take away a sick day or something, you know.
Miura then went to a nearby police station and filed a false police report saying that, quote, an unknown man stabbed me from behind. when he was awaiting treatment for his stab wound, police began questioning him further, which led to Miura going back on his story and eventually caving.
You gotta stick with it.
That's when he told the officers that he lied and stabbed himself because, quote, I wanted to get out of work.
Man, what is his job that he would willingly stab himself to get out of it? That I mean, he must have a terrible job.
Things get even a little bit weirder. It turns out that the knife was just a random knife near the subway ticket station.
What? So he didn't plan this. He saw the knife. He's like, you know what? I'm going to stab myself today. Because, so he just found a random knife that was just sitting there.
Yeah.
He didn't bring a knife from home.
No.
He didn't have a knife on him. He found a knife. That's insane, Rich.
Yes.
You're just walking around. You're like, oh, look, there's a knife on the ground. You know what? I'm going to stab myself.
I have an idea. That's actually the idea bulb going off in his head.
But that's insane. Like, who makes a decision based on something you find on the street? That's like if you find a needle, you're like, you know what? I'm going to take up drugs.
I've always heard a lot about drugs.
I found it. I might as well do it.
That would be a waste.
It would be like, yeah, you don't want it to go to waste.
It's a permanently good knife.
But really, though, who does that? Who's walking along, they see a knife, and you're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to stab myself today.
This guy.
There was no thought to it. Oh, man. So did he get out of work?
Well, yeah, he didn't show up to work that day. But unfortunately, he was arrested for, quote, interfering with proper police duties.
Because of the false report.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, he does get charged with a crime for this.
He could have gotten away with it if he had just stuck with the story. He got nervous and he cracked.
Or just call a sick day.
Or that.
That's not a problem.
Why? Yeah, really.
You don't need to stab yourself.
I mean, like, really, what type of job does he have that he had to stab himself to get out of it?
I don't know. It doesn't say in the news report.
I would love to know, like, what he does. What happens if it's, like, a great job and he's just, like, crazy? Okay, I guess the crazy goes without saying.
Yeah, right. I think that's that doesn't need to be said.
You know how we have that recurring thing that we do every year where the worst excuses to get out of work?
Yeah, I'm going to stab myself.
Stab myself, yeah.
I think that's going to be high up on there.
Probably.
All right. And there you go, folks. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd news. But before we officially wrap it up, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Don't stab yourself to get out of work.
Yeah, there are better ways to get out of work.
Just call out sick.
Come on.
Just say I'm feeling under the weather. That's all you got to do.
You can do it.
No blood, no violence. It's
no
simple,
random
people.
Knife.
No random knife. Yeah, also, don't pick up random knives and stab yourself.
Yeah.
What was that knife being used for? Why was it on the ground? Don't use that knife. That's how you get diseases, people. Come on.
Yeah.
He's probably going to get an infection and die now.
At least he'll get out of work.
That was his plan all along.
There you go.
To get out of work permanently. Of course. Jeez. Crazy people. Crazy. You know what's not crazy, though, is doing a cartwheel to prove you're sober. I feel like that's a good idea.
If you don't throw up, yeah.
I feel like that's not crazy. I feel like people that are able to do that should not be charged with a DUI.
Yeah, I think I agree. And we're going to defend them in a court of law.
That's right. Because we make up the task force known as Cartwheelers Victims Unit.
Yes.
Like something like that.
CVU,
yeah. We have to hammer out the details with Dick Wolf, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. this next one. Just go dildo.
Go dildo.
I love that. That should be everybody's attack phrase. Like, if you're, imagine, you're getting into a fight, right? And, like, there's this big tough guy, and you're like, oh, man, this guy's pretty scary. If you just yell, go, dildo, they're going to stop.
Uh-oh,
they're
going
to stop, and they're going to be like, is there a dildo coming? Am I the dildo? They're confused now. And when they're confused, you throw your dildo at them.
Dildo incoming!
Dildo incoming. It's a dildo missile strike. Calling a dildo barrage.
There you go.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Go dildo. Use it, people. Use it. Another bit of useful advice, keep your drugs and your money in separate pockets. Don't mix them up.
Yeah. Come on.
It's very important.
That's drug dealing 101.
Think about how embarrassing that is. You go to hand some money over. You're like, oh, I'm sorry. There's some drugs in that. I'll just take that back. Yeah. You don't want that happening.
No.
Money and drugs, different pockets. Come on, people. Get on your game. And finally, I learned that Taco Bell just seems to attract prostitutes like flies to a light.
Yep.
It's like a beacon for them. It's like a pillar of hopes and dreams.
And tacos.
And tacos. and apparently, I didn't know this was a thing. You can get prostitutes for food.
Sure.
Tacos and nachos. There's a whole pricing scheme.
Right. You don't have to pay them. Just get food.
There you go, people. The next time you're visiting a lady of the night, just bring some tacos.
Perfect.
Perfect. Nothing will ever go wrong there.
Casanova move.
And let me tell you, if something does happen to go wrong, just yell, go dildo,
yeah,
and run away.
Perfect. And there you go, folks. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Chris Spinola Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Good episode, Mike.
Great episode.
A lot of fun. We had some fun in the sports sampler. Looking forward to WrestleMania and golf. We had a great entertainment entree going over our reviews of Horizon and
Logan,
yes. And then we had our great interview with Bob Kaplan. And then wrapped it all up with the non-fortune cookie odd news. Folks, all of that is the meal for your mind that you can expect when you subscribe to the Crisp Noodle Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to get all of the crazy episodes. This has been the Crisp Noodle Podcast. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to the channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, as Rich pointed out, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You get a brand new episode downloaded for free every Thursday. So just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we have mini noodles, which are the best bits of the show, condensed into a 1 to 2 minute clip that you can easily share with friends and family. The craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Something else you're going to want to share with friends and family is the Indiegogo page for Dollface Road to the Apocalypse.
Yes.
Make sure you get the word out there on all the social media and donate too if you're able to. But you can also find both of us individually on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find us on Twitters and let us know what's going on. Any news stories you want to throw our way or any comments, you know, let us know. What's up?
Yeah. Tell Rich that we shouldn't talk about golf.
Hey, no.
I'm going to start an anti-social media campaign. Hashtag no golf.
Or conversely, if you do want to hear golf, put down golf is the best.
Golf is the best.
Hashtag golf is the best. Sure.
There you go. A Twitter war.
Yeah. See who comes out on top. But thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Thank you to Bob Kaplan for giving us an interview. Folks, this has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. All right, that's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Okay, listen up, everybody. I'm Donald Trump. You might remember me from such elections as the 2016 election. It was the biggest election, the best election, mostly because I won. Now, if you like podcasts, and I like podcasts, let me tell you about podcasts. I've listened to some podcasts in my time because I'm Donald Trump, and I listen to the best podcasts. And the best podcast I listen to is my own podcast. We're the best at the podcasting. But if I had to pick a second podcast, it would be the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's the best podcast for 2017. Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2017.